You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it's Wednesday. Not only do we play the camel because it's hump day on Wednesday, but that's the day we bring in what we like to call the Grand Council with two of my brethren in talk radio. We ping each other with questions and to see how the opining goes. But without further ado, let me just go ahead and call the roll and get it kicked off. So from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and also the editor-in-chief at 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. And then also from 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN out of Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, are you with us?
Whoop!
Yep, stand at
ease.
But
with an echo.
Well, you do have a bit of an echo. I see that.
So did Jeff.
I got echo, yes.
Okay.
Well, they're gone now.
Well,
there you go.
Well, thank you for talking. I call a quorum. Play the tune.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ba-da! All right. Are you still echo-free now, or are we going to...
Echo-free, sir.
Echo-free. Whoa. Outstanding. I'm taking the first question because I'm enjoying this. So apparently... we learned today that all along, the crisis of military readiness, it may not have been quite the crisis they said it was. As I've been saying all along, and I know you guys have too, any given day, Schumer could have brought up a confirmation and worked it through the processes. The only thing was he didn't have the ability to do them en masse outside the regular order of business because of one, Tommy Tuberville. And Tuberville's been standing strong on the issue of, you know, the DOD policies on abortion. So I said earlier today that I think Schumer realized that there's a reason why Tuberville was called the riverboat gambler back in the day. And Schumer just panicked and realized that Tuberville was about to go around him, so he fixed it himself, and he's got three confirmations coming up. I want to hear y'all's thoughts on it. Dale, you first.
Schumer got him again. Take that, Tommy Tuberville. That's how it's going to be played. But in reality, Tuberville won. I mean, this is a big W for him. And he'll be on my program tomorrow morning at 7:20. Check it out on WVNN.
Nice. All right. Good get. I think this is definitely a win. Your thoughts, Jeff Poor?
I agree. It's definitely a win, but not going to get credit for it. We know how this is going to go. And it's like Dale said, Schumer got him again. Biden got him again, or Hunter Biden, or whatever. I don't know.
Dark Brandon
got him. You know, here's the thing. I think that's why it's incumbent on people like the three of us to make sure that we're putting out the right message. I mean, our folks need to know this is actually a win. I mean, this is big doings, and this is forcing the hand of the big, you know, bureaucracy to actually do what it's supposed to do and stay in its own lane.
I'll go a step further.
Yeah, well,
it's also a nice little test of legitimacy and honesty in the media to see how they cover this. If they cover this as, ooh, Schumer outmaneuvered Tuberville, they're frauds. I mean, there's just no other way to look at this. If Tuberville would have just dropped his hold altogether, he'd be a loser. Making Schumer grovel like a little so-and-so on this makes him the winner. And anyone that says otherwise is either lying or stupid, and that needs to be pointed out.
Well, and I'll go one step further than that. I think we just finally found the example of a Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment where one person can actually make a difference. And it's not always possible because you have to have the votes and you have to do – but every once in a while someone realizes – that the rules are set up in a certain way and one person can actually invoke the actual rules and get something done. All right, Dale, you've been quite verbose. I'll let you go next.
Okay, the poor kids at Minor High School apparently fainting in mass because their band director was tased for being a prick and mouthing off to cops and got exactly what he deserved, and it was kind of hilarious. But now we have the AEA getting involved in all of this. Man, does this help this guy or does it hurt him?
You have more than just the AEA. You have one Representative Wandling Gavan who intends to represent him in her legal capacity. And I find that to be like a Saturday Night Live skit in the making. Now, I look at this and go, daggum, man. Listen, yeah, how about this? Be an example for the kids, not the example that says, y'all keep playing, y'all keep playing. Yep. No, be the example for the kids that says, all right, fellas, everybody's done. The police have asked us to short and shut it down because they got to close out the stadium. Let's stop now. Good job, guys. No, he couldn't do that. He had to be that guy. And now he's a victim. Jeff.
Yeah, y'all are totally misreading.
Come
this.
On.
He's going to be hailed as a hero. But it doesn't matter. You know, we can sit here and pontificate what we think, but there's a reason this was on the Good Morning America and other places. This guy is going to be lionized. What we think and say is not going to matter in the end. He is, you know, in our victim culture, he is exactly what the left wants, what the left wants us to become. That's exactly it. And the AA being involved only makes him look, I mean, that's just going to be a feather in his cap when it comes to the Jefferson County School Board looking at anything to do, any disciplinary action or anything. He's just going to be the guy now.
He might be the next superintendent of city schools or county schools. Who knows? So let me segue off that real quick, though. I got to ask you guys a sidebar question on it. Is this Representative Wandling Gavan's breakout moment? Is she going to be on national news? Is it going to be her day? Will she get a syndication opportunity? Come on.
Good Morning America.
Come on.
She's already, had plenty of those opportunities, though.
Oh, the same woman that calls black conservatives the N-word from the podium. But, all right, Jeff, your question. What do you got?
Libraries. Kind of talking about that, and this seems like this library director, the state library director, do we need something from the governor here? Dale wants the legislature to act, but the bureaucracy, I think it's indicative of the bureaucracy here, but do we need something like what they're doing in Ozark, some kind of rating system? Because here's what I was thinking about. It's okay if we do this with movies. We have R, we have NC-17, we have PG-13, PG and G. Why not library books?
Oh, my gosh. Well, maybe because we've gone for hundreds of years without them. I would just love to believe we don't have to do that, that common sense would be allowed to, you know, have its day.
But clearly we have a,
but clearly we have a crisis of common sense.
We have an element of society that is can't be trusted anymore, and it's clear because we got boys and girls bathrooms and girls and boys bathrooms and so on and so forth.
I'm not arguing that point. You are so right. I would hate to see us get down to the idea of having to rate books. But you know what? It's one of those things like the Supreme Court said with regards to profanity and pornography. We know it when we see it, and this is a clear example. They knew it when they put it in that section, and I don't want to have to see a rating system. But I'll tell you what, too. I'm also tired of. I'm finding out from listeners, by the way, that there are some libraries that use taxpayer dollars to pay their American Library Association dues, and I find that to be reprehensible. Dale.
Well, I think what we're going to see, and Jeff said I want the legislature involved. Yes, that's true, and that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, they're forcing their hand. They're putting their pink hair on. They're going crazy. They're making their statements because the media loves it, and so do the nut jobs on social media. And then the legislators are going to go, huh, that's pretty interesting. And we just deleted some of your money. I mean, that's how all this is. That's where all of this had. And it's politically advantageous for them to do it. Why wouldn't the legislature come in here and slice their budgets and say, look what we did to these guys? They're antagonizing the populace, and these guys are going to respond with something that they can wield and say, look what I did for you.
Meanwhile, what's also the victim in all this is the sweet little old lady in tennis shoes who runs the small town library and uses a stubby pencil to fill out the library cards is the victim because she's being lumped in with the knuckleheads that try to be activists in the library.
Let me respond to that.
Please do.
Tough, because she should be calling out her colleagues and making it clear that this is garbage. When Jeff Poor says stupid, terrible things on the radio, it's my job to say, hey, you ever Jeff
no,
Poor?
No.
Look at that guy saying dumb stuff. It's my job to call him out.
And you know, like Matt Murphy and Dale Jackson ruined talk radio for us, Phil Williams. No one in the state trusts talk radio because of those two.
You know, I invite you guys on my show, and this stuff just breaks down like that. All right, listen.
And he's going to say that. We're just
taking
breaks my heart.
Break. All right, listen. Hey, we're finishing round one of the Grand Council with my brethren in talk radio. That's Jeff Poor, executive editor, editor-in-chief of 1819 News, and with the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, and also Dale Jackson, WVNN out of Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Back with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We call it the Grand Council. I got the next question in line, I believe. So, I see this morning that despite all of the hubbub and the hullabaloo, Governor Ivey says she's doubling down on the West Alabama corridor, that they are, quote, going forward. So is this a smack in the face? Is she going to commit to something that's going to have to be spent now, or is it going to get half built, stop, and then move to the next administration's, you know, I-65 widening plan? Jeff, you first.
Yeah, I think it's they don't get it done in time for the next governor, it's going to be put on in mothballs and sit there. You really are going to have a 4-lane road out in the middle of nowhere that hasn't been completed. So they're rushing this. It's clear that's number one why they're not going for the federal money. That takes years and years. And the other aspect to it is the permitting. They're doing it in a weird way that's not typically done. It's not going to make it eligible for federal money. They are rushing this project to get it done before Ivy leaves office.
Dadgum. I mean, has she got like an extra lake house we don't know about that she's going to be driving on this massive widened West Alabama road
we haven't been able to prove this, but there is some kind of economic development component. I think somewhere around the Tuscaloosa-Hale County line, they're going to get that W in the Black Belt. I think it's some kind of mega site or something they're going to have in place.
It's a casino.
I got to interrupt here. I got to bail on this. Cindy just got rear-ended. Everyone's fine, but I need to leave. So I will talk to you guys next week.
All right, brother. Prayers for you. All right, man. Thanks. Oh, wow. That was interesting. Dale Jackson being human there for a minute, but glad to hear that Cindy's all right. Then keep going on this. So you think you got something out there in West Alabama that needs this road in order for it to happen, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and I also, so a couple of things, and we're working on the reporting on it, but I don't mind talking a little bit about it, that they're condemning the property for this West Alabama corridor all up and down. Now, it's not truly adjacent to Highway 43. They're building brand new road in certain parts of it, and they are condemning the property. The local probate judges there in Hale County and Marengo County are the property owners are challenging it, taking it to the probate judges in those two counties where the project is mostly at, a little bit of Clark County, and the probate judges are ruling in favor of the landowners, and they're getting way more than the land is valued given to them by ALDOT. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with people getting as much as they possibly can when the government comes and takes your property. But ALDOT is not fighting it. ALDOT is just ceding it, and they are way, way overpaying, it appears, to build this road. That's why that price tag keeps going up, and no one is talking about it.
Okay, so what just happened here was I asked a simple question, and it became very apparent that the editor-in-chief of 1819 News has been working on an investigative piece. That's what I'm gathering.
Well, and look, we're working on it, and we're trying to tie it down. But I think there are a lot of other little things that are making this project really, really ridiculous.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't disagree with that. And I think there's almost always a backstory on everything this big anywhere, but certainly in the state of Alabama, the history says that there's something behind it. All right. Well, we'll see. It's more than just the people in West Alabama deserve a big road. It's more than that. It's and you know what? Here's the other thing, though. I understand that Economic development sometimes requires a layer of confidentiality because you don't want to scare the project away or you can't talk about investments, that kind of stuff. But at some point, you have to recognize that sometimes just telling the truth might be even better. Like, hey, how about this? Y'all, we need to build that road because if we do, we get a 4,000-employee plant out there in West Alabama. Nobody would argue with that.
Well, I guess you don't want to count their chickens before they hatch. But I'll say this, though, they talk about that. The governor's the governor for the whole state, not just, you know, certain parts. If you believe in this one person, one vote, if you really truly believe in a representative democracy, if you, you know, consent to the voters and all of this, where they are building this road, there is nobody. And there's a lot of people suffering because of the congestion in state, the time it takes them to get to work and get home to their families, and ALDOT is doing nothing about it. But we get this legacy project in West Alabama that the governor is building, and I don't see that as all Alabamians. It's fewer Alabamians there than there are in a lot of places where these resources are needed.
I'm not arguing that point. All right, listen. Since this, we still have a quorum because 2 out of 3 is a quorum, but now you're asking me a question. What you got?
tell me. How you feeling about this redistricting? The drama here is really fascinating to me, and you said it on my show. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to say it on your own show. We can talk about Chris Pringle and the way he has submitted that map. And this is a guy in leadership. And he's doing this with what I understand without the permission of the other co-chairman of the redistricting committee, Steve Livingston. My buddy's over there in Jackson County, as I haven't heard from in a long time. But that – he's acting rogue here. It's just a bad look altogether.
It's a way bad look. And I left your show that day and I excoriated them on my own show that same afternoon. So to remind the people, Representative Chris Pringle from Baldwin County, I believe, down yonder.
No, he's from Mobile.
Mobile, okay, from Mobile.
Don't put him over here on this side of the bay.
Sorry. Anyway, Chris Pringle from down yonder in South Alabama, part of the coastal delegation. But he was the House chair for redistricting, and he came up with a plan that didn't pass. And it was a plan, by the way, that he didn't even vote for. He voted for the plan that actually went to the courts. But now he's out there going, well, I had a better plan, and I wish they'd look at it. So he threw his entire, 139 other members of the entire legislature under the bus by submitting the plan to the court so they would know that someone tried hard to make it all look good. And I just find that to be cheesy.
I also wonder the legal counsel there, Senator, with Dorman Walker, if he's not driving that train and somehow that Chris Pringle is just doing what he's told by this attorney for the committee.
Well, you know what? He's still a representative, and he's supposed to have his own chutzpah. But all I know is his name's attached to the submission. So, bad on you, dude. And you're supposed to be the Speaker pro tem of the state house, and you threw everybody under the bus to make yourself look like the shining knight. And I'm saying, you know what? Are you trying to run for Congress for the fourth time? What are you doing? just saying. Hey, Jeff Poore, editor-in-chief, 1819 News, and the host of your own show, FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poore Show down in Mobile. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
See you, buddy. And blessings on Dale Jackson. If you're listening, Dale, keep us posted on what's happening. I'll be texting you later to check in, but hope that all went well. All right, that was the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We got more. We'll be right back.